Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this morning we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 16, text number 151. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to the officers and Roy Ramananda continued on with the Lord. The Lord talked to Ramananda Roy about Sri Krishna day and night. Text 152. In each and every village, in compliance with the king's order, government officers constructed new houses and filled each of them with stocks of grain. Thus they serve the Lord. I don't think this is where we stopped last week, is it? I think they... Who was here last week? Yeah, I think it... No. We're in the right place. This is it. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived at Remuna, where he bade farewell to Sri Ramananda Roy. Purport. It was stated in the first chapter of Madhya Lila, verse 149, that Ramananda Roy was bade farewell from Bhadraka. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that in those days, the place called Remuna also included Bhadraka. Text 154. When Ramananda Roy fell to the ground and lost consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him upon his lap and began to cry. Now there was other instances where devotees collapsed upon Lord Chaitanya's leaving. Gadadhar Pandit was one. But Lord Chaitanya just kept going. I think Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was another. But Ramananda Roy was so special. Lord Chaitanya just couldn't leave him there. Collapsed, you know, unconscious. Put him on his lap. You could see the affection here with Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya began to cry. Text 155. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation from Ramananda Roy are very difficult to describe. Indeed, it is almost intolerable to do so. And therefore, I cannot describe them further. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived at the border of the state of Orissa, a government officer came there to meet him. For 2 or 4 days, the government officer served the Lord, and he also gave the Lord detailed information about what was ahead. He informed the Lord that the territory ahead was ruled by a Muslim governor who was a drunkard. Out of fear of this king, no one could walk the road freely. The jurisdiction of the Muslim government extended up to Pichalada. Due to fear of the Muslims, no one would cross the river. Purport. During the old days, Pichalada was part of Tumluk and in Bengal. Pichalada is located about 14 miles south of Tumluk. Text 160. Maharaj Pratapa Rudra's government officer further informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he should stay at the Orissa border for some days so that a peaceful agreement could be negotiated with the Muslim governor. And that way, the Lord would be able to cross the river peacefully in a boat. This pastime is one of the most amazing pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, perk your ears. It's amazing. At that time, a follower of the Muslim governor arrived at the Orissa encampment dressed in disguise. The Muslim spy saw the wonderful characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he returned to the Muslim governor, he told him, quote, "A mendicant has come from Jagannath Puri with many liberated persons. All these saintly people incessantly chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and they all laugh, dance, chant, and cry. Millions upon millions of people come to see him, and after they see him, they cannot return home. All these people become like madmen. They simply chant the holy name of Krishna and dance. Sometimes they even cry and roll on the ground. Millions of them." Millions, Prabhu. Perk your ears. Millions. Yes, there's many, many millions. Many millions upon millions. What a sight that would be, huh? Actually, these things cannot even be described. One can understand them only by seeing. Considering his influence, I accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the servant of the Muslim governor. After saying this, the messenger began to chant the holy names of Hari and Krishna. Hari, Hari! Krishna, Krishna! He also began to laugh and cry, dance and sing exactly like a madman. This is the Muslim. If we only had such good fortune also. Here's the person that's grown up a Muslim. He's just got completely immersed in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Muslim governor heard this, his mind changed. He then sent his secretary to the representative of the Orissan government. The Muslim secretary came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he offered his respects to the Lord's lotus feet and uttered the holy name of the Lord, Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
he also was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. After calming down, the Muslim secretary offered his respects and informed the representative of the Orissa government, quote, "The Muslim governor has sent me here. If you agree, the Muslim governor will come here to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then return. The Muslim governor is very eager and he has submitted this petition with great respect. It is a proposal for peace. You need not fear that we will fight." Unquote. Upon hearing this proposal, the representative of the Orissan government, the Mahapatra, was very much astonished. He thought, "The Muslim governor is a drunkard who has changed his mind. It must be Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself who has changed the Muslim's mind. Due to his presence, and even due to his remembrance, the whole world is liberated." Purport. From this, we can understand that since the Muslim governor was a drunkard, ordinarily there would have been no chance that he would change. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could turn anyone's mind to Krishna consciousness. That means ours also. We can become completely Krishna conscious by remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haribo. One can be delivered from material existence simply by remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name or visiting him. Srila Prabhupada once said that there's a mantra that's more powerful than the Hare Krishna mantra. And that mantra is Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So a devotee asked Prabhupada, then Prabhupada, why don't we chant the Panchatantra mantra on our japa beads instead of the Hare Krishna mantra? And Prabhupada said, that's because Lord Chaitanya told us to chant Hare Krishna. But we also chant the Panchatantra mantra before we chant Hare Krishna. This way we become free of offenses that may be committed. This Krishna consciousness movement is being spread throughout the world, but not even one yavana or malecha addicted to drinking could have changed and accepted Krishna consciousness without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. People are often astonished to see many thousands of Westerners converted to Vaishnavism. Generally, the Westerners are addicted to meat-eating, drinking, gambling, and illicit sex. Just to mention a few. Therefore, their taking up Krishna consciousness is astonishing. In India, especially, there is much astonishment at this. What did Prabhupada call his disciples? Huh? Dancing white elephants. I mean, I've never even seen an elephant dance, what to speak of a white elephant dancing.
That's how special they are.
Very special. The answer, however, is given here. This change is made possible simply by the remembrance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Western devotees are very sincerely chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, people are being purified and their consciousness directed from Maya to Krishna. The word Vishvasa refers to a secretary. This title is generally found among the Kayasta caste in the Hindu community. In Bengal, the title Vishvasa is still used by the Kayastas. The word Vishvasa means faithful, and a Vishvasi is a person in whom one can place his faith. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that during the Muslim reign in Bengal, there was a secretariat entitled Vishvasa Khana. The office of Vishvasa Khana was a secretariat office in which only the most reliable people were employed. They were elected from the Kayasta community, a community that is still very expert in managing business and governmental affairs. Text 176. After thinking this, the Mahapatra immediately informed the Muslim secretary, quote, "It is a great fortune for your governor. Let him come and visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, let me make it understood that he should come here without weapons. He may bring with him 5 or 7 servants." The secretary returned to the Muslim governor and informed him of this news. Dressing himself like a Hindu, Dodi and Kirta. The Muslim governor then came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from a distant place, the Muslim governor fell to the ground and offered dandavats, obeisances. Tears came to his eyes, and he was jubilant with ecstatic emotions. This is inconceivable. He's a Muslim drunkard. He's completely transformed. Arriving in that way, the Muslim governor was respectfully brought before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the Mahapatra. The governor then stood before the Lord with folded hands, and he chanted the holy name of Krishna. The governor then submissively asked, "Why was I born in a Muslim family? This is considered a low birth. Why didn't Supreme Providence grant me a birth in a Hindu family? If I had taken birth in a Hindu family, it would have been easy for me to remain near your lotus feet. Since my body is now useless, let me die immediately." Wow. I mean, a lot of devotions coming out of this king, huh? Upon hearing the governor's submissive statement, the Mahapatra was overwhelmed with joy. He clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer the following prayers. Quote, "Simply by hearing your holy name, a chandala, the lowest of men, can be purified. Now, this conditioned soul has received your personal interview. It is no wonder that this Muslim governor has attained such results. Simply by seeing you, all this is possible. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him." Purport. This is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:33-6. According to this verse, it does not matter what position a person holds. Therefore, it's stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi sudju kenin, ye Krishna tattaveta se guru." Anybody that knows the science of Krishna, even though he may be a sudra, kiba vipra, sannyasi, or a brahmana, if he knows the science of Krishna, he can be a spiritual master. This is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may be the lowest of the low, a chandala, or a dog eater. But if he takes to chanting and hearing the holy names of the Lord, he is immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. This is especially true in the age of Kali. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, Kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. We used to chant like that in the kirtans. Were you around? Did they have that back? Yeah, we used to chant that in the kirtans.
What's that translation?
The translation is, "In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. This is the way, the truth, and the light." A person born in a Brahmana family cannot perform Vedic sacrifices until he is properly purified and has attained his sacred thread. However, according to the present verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is understood that even a low-born person can immediately perform sacrifices if he sincerely chants and hears the holy name of the Lord. Sometimes envious people ask how Europeans and Americans in this Krishna conscious movement can become brahmanas and perform sacrifices. They do not know that the Europeans and Americans have already been purified by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This is the proof. Svadho pi sadhya samanhaya kalpate. One may be born in a family of dog eaters, but what's worse than that? Cow eaters. You know, cow eating is not even mentioned in the Vedas. It's mentioned dog eaters, but the sages back then, they couldn't imagine that someone would eat the cow. It was unimaginable. Therefore, they don't mention cow eaters. The dog eater is worse, according to them. But worse than that is to eat your mother. Eating your mother, and they think it's perfectly all right. Yeah.
Don't they get the mercy first? Aren't they the most qualified to receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy?
This is a statement by Narottam Das Thakur, that Lord Chaitanya, he is the most merciful because he's come to save the most fallen. Yeah. So yeah, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. He saves the most fallen. So we definitely fit in the category of receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Sri Patita Paranaki Jai.
Jai. Those who find fault in the Western Vaishnavas should consider this statement from Srimad Bhagavatam and the commentary on this verse by Srila Jiva Goswami. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami has stated that to become a brahmana, one has to wait for purification and undergo the sacred thread ceremony. But a chanter of the holy name does not have to wait for the sacred thread ceremony. We do not allow devotees to perform sacrifices until they are properly initiated in the sacred thread ceremony. Yet according to this verse, an offenseless chanter of the holy names is already fit to perform fire ceremonies, even though he is not doubly initiated by the sacred thread ceremony. This is the verdict given by Devahuti. Who knows the verse? Aho bhati svapati tigriyan yajjiva gre vartate namatulyam te pusta pasyajuhu sasnara brahmanurti nama guranti nete. How glorious are those persons upon whose tongues the holy name has been chanted. Indeed, they must have bathed in the holy rivers, had all the good qualities of the brahmanas, chanted Vedic verses in order to be now chanting the holy name of Krishna. This is the verdict given by Devahuti, the mother of Lord Kapiladev, when he was instructing her in pure Sankhya philosophy. Text 187. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then glanced with mercy at the Muslim governor, given him assurance. He asked him to chant the holy names Krishna and Hari. Purport. It is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that he advises everyone, even Chandalas, Malachas, and Yavanas, to chant the holy name of the Lord. In other words, one who has taken to chanting the holy names of Krishna and Hari has already received Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The Lord's request to chant the holy name of Krishna is now extended to everyone in the world throughout the Krishna conscious or through the Krishna conscious movement. Whoever follows Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions will certainly be purified. And one who sincerely chants the holy name offensively, see, that's the tough part. That's the difficulty. We can chant, but you chant offenselessly. We have these 10 offenses. It's very difficult. Yeah.
Because it's scary if you offend the holy name. It's so scary, the results.
Yeah. So we have to be very careful. We have to pray for purification. We have to pray that we could chant the holy name offenselessly. And Krishna will help us. Whoever follows Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions will certainly be purified. And one who sincerely chants the holy name offenselessly is already more than a brahmana. Unfortunately, there are many fools and rascals in India who do not allow Western Vaishnavas to enter certain temples. Such rascals do not clearly understand the Vedas. As stated previously, Yanab Tebya Shravana Nukirtanad Sabanaya Kalpate. You know, we're not allowed to enter into the Jagannath temple. But some devotees have been able to enter that weren't Hindus. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he went in. He didn't, of course, he didn't go in with ISKCON garb. He went in there looking like a Hindu, you know, because there's a lot of Hindus that have very dark skin, especially, I think, South India, right? Very dark skin. So he was able to slip by, and he's walking around in the Jagannath temple. He's getting darshan of Jagannath, you know, big Jagannath, Baladeva and Subhadra. That temple, I have no idea. It's thousands of years. Is it 2000? I think it's, Satya Yuga. Anyway, it's a very old temple. So Bhakti Tirtha Swami was able to go in. He was in ecstasy. He was just like, wow, this is Krishna's mercy. So then he left. And then he's in his room and he's thinking, wow. That was so ecstatic. I'm going to go again. So he went again. And this time when he went in, he was asking questions to the pachas, to the priest. And they noted that accent is American. So he called all the other priests. And they all got sticks, and they were chasing him. He had to run out. So.
That sounds fanatical.
Yeah, it's a little fanatical. Actually, Prabhupada, he was so upset. He said, because they're not allowing Vaishnavas in the temple, Jagannath has left. And there's another devotee that went in there. What's his name? Anyway, there's another devotee that went in, and he's from the West. He's from the West, white skin, but he was living the life of a sadhu, so he had locks of hair, and he had worn cloth, and he was able to slip by. I can't believe I can't remember his name. You know, this is inconceivable because he's a very dear friend of mine. He's the guru at the Chapati Temple. What's his name? Radhana Swami. I can't believe it. Radhana Swami. He was able to go in to the Jagannath Temple. Yeah. Because he not only did he look like a sadhu, but he had the demeanor. He was a real sadhu, you know. So he was able to go in. I'm sure it was wonderful. But, any of you heard that before, that he had gone in? Huh? Oh, he went very early. When Pandas, that's right. Yeah. And he probably had ashes on him too, also. Oh, he went in quick and left quick. Good.
No sticks.
No sticks. Let me see where I am here. Okay, here we are. Text 188. The Muslim governor then said, quote, "Since you have so kindly accepted me, please give me some order so that I can render you some service." Unquote. Purport. If one is purified by following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders, that is, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one must certainly be eager to render service to the Lord. This should be the result of chanting, that we're very eager to render service to Krishna. This is the test. When one engages enthusiastically in the Lord's service, it is to be understood that he is reaping the results of chanting the holy names of Krishna and Hari. So this is the test. If we're eager to serve, then we're reaping the results of chanting the names of Krishna.
What's the highest service?
The highest service. Well, it's funny you should mention that. It's a good question. And Krishna says, Yai dang paramang guyang mad bhakte suvidhash bhakti mayam param kudra mame vaisya yasangsa. He says, anybody that is distributing this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is most dear to me, and there'll never be anyone more dear to me. And Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, then distribute books. So the reason this is so dear to the pure devotees and so dear to Krishna is because tamasima jyotirgama, people are in ignorance. And this knowledge brings people out of ignorance. Yeah. And even we have these educational system, you know, throughout the world. But people go there and they become more ignorant. They go there and I know some devotees that before they went to college, they didn't commit a sin. No gambling, no intoxication, no meeting, no illicit sex. They went to college and so much sinful activity. You learn how to sin in college.
Well, it's nothing like a well-rounded education, right?
Unfortunately, it's sinfully rounded. So we have to give them real education. This knowledge is the king of education. Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, most secret of all secrets, the purest knowledge. So we have to give out this very pure knowledge for their benefit so they can get purified, they can understand what the goal of life is. They haven't a clue. They think the goal of life is to make some money, have sense gratification, and die. That's it. Make a bunch of money, engage in sense gratification, and die. Yeah, completely mode of ignorance. No. So we have to let them know what the goal of life is. And if we give people books, then Krishna's so pleased. Because some people, they benefit. They benefit from reading these books. We may not see how they're benefiting, but Srila Prabhupada said just by their touching a book, they benefit. So when I distribute books, I try to get them to at least touch it. You know, I show it to them. But sometimes people are so impious that I try to get them to touch it and they back up. They're so sinful, they can't even touch the book. I just, wish them a happy day. So here, continuing, text 189. The Muslim governor then prayed for liberation from the unlimited sinful reactions he had previously incurred by being envious of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and killing cows. He had killed so many cows. Purport. By chanting the holy names Krishna and Hari, one is certainly liberated from the reaction to such sinful activities as killing cows or insulting Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. It is most sinful to kill cows and insult Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. The karma incurred by such activity is very great, but one can immediately nullify all this karma by surrendering to Lord Krishna and chanting his holy name. You know, after this, the Muslims, I heard, they were so much against Vaishnavism that they would go, just like, you know, Rupa Goswami, he had that Govindaji temple. They knocked off so many layers. It's a big temple. And they would cut off the head of the Brahmanas and they would hang them. They would hang their heads with their Brahmin threads. Yeah. Oh, ghastly. Terrible. Just like we have ISIS now, you know, they're cutting heads off. Yeah. So you can't imagine. And they would take the deities and they would cut them and they would use them as steps. They would use them as steps in their mosque. Just to give you an idea of how insane these people. But here we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely converting this drunkard. And he was just like, he was a major problem. Everybody was afraid of him. But he's completely converted by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna. Of course, we can never become as powerful as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's God himself. But, you know, we have examples of devotees in this movement that are very powerful. It's like Radhana Swami. He's made thousands and thousands. I was in Pune, and there was just an announcement that Radhana Swami is going to come, and he's going to give a lecture that night. 5,000 people showed up. Yeah. Spur of the moment, yeah.
And they knew who he was. They were there because he was.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. He's the main guru there and he's very much respected. And then we went to another temple south going towards Bombay. Or no, I guess it was going west. It's a temple made of wood. What was that? Huh? I don't think it's Belgium. No, that's south. Yeah, yeah. Again, thousands of devotees show up. And I'm like amazed. You know, he's got a lot of Shakti, you know, because of his humility, because of his purity. So yeah, even if we get the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can also do amazing things. Sure, there's examples here. Contemporary examples. The karma incurred by such sinful activity is very great, but one can immediately nullify all this karma by surrendering to Lord Krishna and chanting his holy name. After being released from one's sinful reactions, karma, one becomes eager to serve the Lord. This is the test. Since the Muslim governor was immediately purified in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could utter the names of Krishna and Hari. Consequently, he was eager to render some service, and the Lord, eager to fulfill his desires, immediately had the devotee, Mukunda Dutt, inform the governor that there was some service to render. To be continued next week. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Any questions or comments? It's a cliffhanger. What happens?
The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
What's the best way to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Well, as we heard here, by chanting the names of Krishna, we get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by distributing the holy names. See, when we distribute books, we're not only distributing the knowledge of the absolute truth, we're distributing the holy name. Personally, I can tell you, I started chanting Hare Krishna from getting a book. I was already chanting another mantra from transcendental meditation, which is pretty much useless. And then I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I threw that mantra just out the window. You know, that thing was just useless. You know, I paid, $120 for it, too. You know? Such cheating. Such ridiculous cheating. But then when I read the Hare Krishna mantra, I thought, now here is a real mantra. So I started chanting Hare Krishna. So when we're distributing books, we're distributing the knowledge of the absolute truth, and we're distributing the holy name. Any of you start chanting from also reading Prabhupada's books? Many devotees started chanting Hare Krishna from reading Prabhupada's books. So therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said this is called the Brihat Mridanga, the Great Mridanga. If you got a real good drummer, they may be able to hear it a couple blocks away if you're outside. But with the Brihat Mridanga, the book Mridanga, then, I mean, I've had the experience of people, like I used to distribute books in the airports, maybe 16 years I distributed books in the airport. And many people got books from me, and they went to their country, and they became devotees. So it's very appropriately called Brihat Mridanga. They became devotees thousands and thousands of miles away from where they received the holy name and the knowledge.
I know you can't really tell where these books are going to go either, because my first experience was a friend of mine. I lived in a college town, and a friend of mine had gotten a Krishna book and a Bhagavad Gita from a devotee, and he wasn't interested. And my wife and I used to go to his house, and we were growing marijuana right by his house. So we kept looking at those books, and every time we go to his house, we wouldn't really visit with him. We'd just sit there with the books looking at them. And he said, when that pot flowers, I'll trade you, an ounce of buds for those books. I said, you got a deal. So I went home with the
traded books. Marijuana for Prabhupada's books.
Yeah. And I went home to my house in the country with my wife, and we sat on our front porch, and we read Bhagavad Gita and Krishna books side by side, and we finished at exactly the same time, every time, swapped three times, walked out to the freeway, and hitchhiked to Houston, Texas, and found the Hare Krishnas.
Howdy, Bo. Very good. This is the
book
power.
Book distribution, key jai. You don't know where these books are going to go.
That's right. We have no idea. There was one story of one devotee who was distributing books at a concert, and one of the concert goers got a book, and he was looking through it, and I'm not going to read this. So he took the book and he threw it up in the air. I mean, very high. He just threw it up in the air, and it landed in one person's hands. He was talking to some friends, and it landed in his hands. And he's like, where'd that come from? And he thought, well, I guess I meant to read this. So he took it and read it. I don't know if he became a devotee. It was pretty amazing. There's a saying in India that on every grain of rice is someone's name. How do you say it?
Mind if I ask you a question?
On every grain of rice, there's someone's name, because Krishna's in control. He knows where it's going to go. So what to speak of Prabhupada's books? It's very common that someone gets a book and they're not interested. They give it to a friend, or they put it in the trash, and someone takes it out of the trash and becomes a devotee. There's one amazing pastime. Give it to him. Give the microphone to him. Yeah. There's one amazing pastime of Radhanath Swami. He was hitchhiking, And some guy picked him up. And you know, Radha Swami is very friendly. And so we started talking to him. And he said, so he asked this person, Radha Swami asked this person, so what do you like to do? And the person said, well, you know, I like to meditate. He said, really? What kind of meditation do you do? Well, I chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I said, really? Well, where'd you learn about that? I also chant that mantra. Oh, really? Yeah. So how'd you learn about this mantra? He said, well, I was at a store, and I got this watermelon. You know, I bought one of these quarter pieces of the watermelon. And I was eating it over a trash can, and it fell into the trash. He said, well, generally I wouldn't do this, but it's a real good watermelon. So I reached down to get this watermelon, and there was this book in there, Bhagavad Gita. And I like to read, so I thought, hey, maybe it's a good book. So then I reached down and got my actual watermelon out of there and finished it. But I read that book. He said I read it 3 times. He said, that's the most amazing book I ever read. So I started chanting Hare Krishna from that. So then Radha Swami said, well, you know, that's my favorite book. I'm a devotee of Krishna. And he said, you're a devotee of Krishna? I always wanted to meet a devotee of Krishna. This is amazing. So then he said, asked Radha Swami, he said, well, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going to the temple. I live at the temple. He said, you mean there's a temple around here? He said, yeah, that's where I'm going. And he said, well, can I go too? And Radha Swami said, well, yeah, you're the driver. Let's go. Yeah. So that was a time when they were building Prabhupada's Palace of Gold. So this person happened to be a professional welder. So he had $25,000 worth of welding equipment, and he was one of the persons that helped build.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it started from getting a book out of the trash. See, the person's name was on the book. You know, we can't see the whole picture, you know. Like sometimes people say, oh, we've distributed so many books, but you know, where's the devotees? You know? But we don't see what's happening. Just, we'd have to keep on planting the seeds. We shouldn't be so concerned with the harvest. You know? Just plant the seeds. And we're going to see amazing things happen. Or we may not see. It may happen after our lives. You know? But we just got to keep on planting these seeds. You know, they're going in people's homes. We don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, but have faith that amazing things are going to happen. Yes, Rupa.
Well, you might have answered my question, but I was going to ask about the other part of the equation. You know, you plant a lot of seeds, and then you know somebody comes, but oftentimes there's no further education available for that person. You know, it may feel a little futile sometimes. Planting so many seeds, but then somebody comes and they, you know, they don't see proper examples, or they don't meet a bona fide spiritual master, so they get diverted, and you know they don't take the next step, right? Or they don't know how to take the next steps.
Yes, therefore we have to be good examples and try to follow up. I mean, at least when we distribute books, you know, put an invitation card there or something. And being a good example is very important. There's a saying amongst the Christians. I think it was St. Francis. St. Francis, he told that you preach all day, and sometimes you can speak. You can say something. In other words, it's not just what you say. They're looking at what you do. Yeah.
Another way I heard that.
Go ahead, say it.
You know, someone asked St. Francis something like, you know, shouldn't we preach? And he said, you should preach constantly. You know, and sometimes use words.
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
Yeah, like
it's,
that.
It's
yeah.
a very good, very good.
So it's by our, a lot of times it's not by our words, but it's by our actions.
Yeah. I know in that light, I was a Christian first, and I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Lord Jesus, number one and two commandments is, number one, worship the Lord thy God with all thy mind, body, heart, and soul. And two is to love thy neighbor as thyself. But I couldn't find any Christians.
Yeah.
But the Hare Krishnas fulfilled that command. Especially the second one, even love thy neighbor as thyself. I had a huge, I had a chicken house full of chickens that I executed. I never ate one of them after I read that. Because I didn't know that animals had souls.
Prabhuji, can I ask a question that's off the topic a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
So, we have a limited time, as we know, with our daily activities and performing your duties and chanting. And so we have to hear and read, one of the main things. We have Prabhupada lectures and our Guru's lectures. There are so much nectar in our ISKCON. There is so much nectar, really, like from all Maharajas, and they speak very elevated topics and so nicely. And we have scriptures to read, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, and there are so many books that Prabhupada has given us, and there is so much knowledge. And we also need knowledge, and we also need continuous purification. The question is, can you please give a practical advice how to manage time in a way that, and also how to prioritize? Should we hear from Srila Prabhupada also, and besides hearing from your own guru and from other things that we hear constantly, like for example today we are hearing from you, how to discipline ourselves in a way that hearing and reading goes step by step and keeps on growing, and improve not only the basics all the time, just the basics, not only just the basics, but also hearing the deeper topics and also reading the deeper topics and getting absorbed in it. How to, it's a practical thing that because time is running out.
Yeah.
Can you please advise?
Well, today is a very special day. Today we get extra time. We get 25 hours today.
How does that work?
We need to actually, I think that's what you need. You need more time. Yeah, time management. It's so important. Prabhupada so many times, he said, don't waste time. Don't waste time. And I heard this so many times, so I looked and I found out how many seconds there are in a day. 86,400 seconds in a day. And we shouldn't waste one of them. Of course, we have to rest and we have to do work, but we should very carefully use time. Yeah, to hear, and if we have some spare time, probably say, then read. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, give him the microphone.
Even suppose if we are putting aside like 2 hours or 3 hours a day, hear some from Prabhupada and hear from your own guru and hear from.
Yeah.
Can you please throw some light?
Yeah, of course. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of our society. So we should, everybody should regularly hear from Srila Prabhupada, read his books and hear his lectures. And, of course, hearing from your guru, you want your faith to increase in your guru also. So hear from your guru. It's very important. Now we have so many gurus also. We have Sikhi gurus, so many Sikhi gurus.
And everybody speaks about Krishna.
And they're all speaking about Krishna.
Yeah.
So we need instead of 24, we need 48 hours in a day. You know, that might help some. You know? Not enough time in the day. Not enough time in the day. So with the little time that we do have, yeah, just very scrutinizingly utilize it properly to read and chant and here. So maybe we could talk some more later on.
I know Prabhupada said remember means to remember to write down. So I have a lot of
Prabhupada said that. Remembering means write it down. It's very important. Okay, so it's getting a little late now, so maybe we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.